Welcome to Creating Cash Flow. Hello, everybody, for January 5th, 2025, if you can believe it. Okay, let's see here. We will get started and then I will introduce myself and set up the protocol for the group. But since Therese, are you ready?
I
Wanna?
am, yeah.
All right. Awesome. So Therese is a cash flow tiger. She's a luxury harpist, network TV actress, and wellness coach. So congratulations on your victory, because you wrote, despite the tiny amount of fear, I do feel very excited about my growth last year and the growth to come this year. I feel a lot more clear on how to work for myself and increase my productivity levels while raising my vibration to attract what I want. I have stronger tools now that empower me for this year and beyond. That's a great feeling to have going in.
Good.
And you can have all of that and have a little bit of fear that we're going to talk about, but this
Okay.
fear doesn't take away anything from that. This is true. And that is true.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
actually in the same boat. I have the same thing, and I'm like, oh, okay, there's things that I'm doing in my personal life, and I'm like, huh, I'm a little scared. And I have to keep talking myself back down and soothing my nervous system about it right now, almost every single day. So
Thank you
it's
for sharing that. That's
both
all I needed to hear.
and. Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. Three things that we're going to talk through. One, increasing your harp rate to match the photographers and DJs in the New York luxury event market to make more money in this area. And you're also increasing your outreach with targeted automated strategies to help build your email list. And fine-tuning the experience that you offer without adding any more like work to your plate to deliver that experience. Is there something specific you want to talk about to that at all?
That specific area, the harp.
I'm just going down the list.
Thank
Just
you. I see. Got it. Yeah, I did give you a lot, so thank you.
okay.
I guess that feels more solid than the other areas. I know, based on many conversations with you, that it is only right and it is only ne it's necessary for me to raise my rates, right? I see all the research, I see my value now, which we talked about yesterday. Like, it's definitely okay for me to do it. The world's not going to end if people have an issue. That's okay. I have all that in there. And I feel pretty good about that because I'm kind of aware of like how many jobs I would have to do at that rate to be able to earn what I want to earn and hit my target. So yeah, I think that area feels good. I know that primarily I have to increase my outreach. And what I'm doing right now is creating like automated strategies for me so that like I decrease the overthinking. So it's like, okay, if I'm calling a venue and asking about their preferred vendor list, I'm asking this question. And then based on the response I get, I'm sending this email. Done. So
Systems.
exactly, systems.
Systems.
That's the word. Yeah, I realize like that's what takes up a lot of my time and slows me down. It's just, overthinking every little thing. And so I know in order to streamline and get in front of more people to book more jobs, like I have to create as many systems as possible. So that's actually the realization I had before this call. So I don't know the timing.
That's a fantastic
Yeah.
realization that will change your life.
I'm excited for it. So
Yeah.
excited.
So number two was sitting down with your acting team with the intention of being more selective with your time and energy in 2025, focusing on building more momentum in network TV instead of trying to be available for every single job that comes your way. That makes sense.
I mean, I still find this like tug and pull with this creative part of myself that really still craves doing theater and doing musical theater and doing all of these acting things. And like my heart really wants to explore that. And then I think some too is like kind of pride, like, well, can I call myself an actor if I'm only like doing this one thing, or I'm not like I'm saying no to these other jobs? Like, I think it's this awareness that being selective, which is good, like you're creating boundaries and everything so I can focus my energy, is kind of like, I don't know if being like superior, like I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, who am I to like refuse opportunities, basically? But I just know that there will be, what I kind of thought about was that there will be opportunities for me to do that more in my whole life. It's okay if it's like not my priority right now. So yeah, it's just that I think it's really like the blockage I have there is that like creative push and pull. Like I get excited when I see like a one-on-one class with this like casting director for theater, even though I said like I'm gonna put my focus there, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, what if you looked at your approach? The word that keeps coming to my mind is elevate. Elevate. That's what you're doing in your heart business. And that is what you're actually doing in the creative side of your business. You're being even more of a professional because you're like, this is the work I want to do. This is how it fits into my life. This is how I want to feel when I'm doing the work. And that's a very elevated approach. And I think that through, if you're going on a career journey as an actor, that's a natural milestone to hit where you're like, there's some work I actually don't want to do because I don't want to do that kind of work. Or my life is so full that I have to say no to some of the work at this time, at this chapter in your life. The theater's not going away. It's not. But you are in a chapter of your life where the focus is on making money.
Yeah, for sure.
And what if your great theater work is to come?
Okay,
What
thank
if you
you.
just tell the universe, okay, you hold that? Because the theater, or I should say, live performance, isn't going anywhere. The theater Broadway, as we know it, might change, but as virtual reality becomes more and more and more, people are going to crave actual contact with people. So the artists are going to still be necessary, and live performance is still going to be very craved. So it's not going anywhere in your life, but you could say, not at this moment in my life.
I love
It's a
that.
very
That's so
professional, elevated way to think about it. And if
I
you align with, if you get your own energy around that in alignment, then I think when you're talking about it with your reps, what they're going to feel from you is professionalism and thoughtfulness and elevated work. And like they're going to be like, okay.
Yeah, what can you say to that?
I never envisioned any kind of representation and be like, I'm not going to be doing theater for a while. And they're like disappointed. They'll be fine. Yeah.
Yep,
Okay, cool.
absolutely.
So, number three, you're planning your first set of workshops and guided meditations for this year. You can do it online, you can do it in person. You had the idea that as you build your audience in this area, you can create an audio program that's both self-help and guided meditations to offer to wellness clients. And in addition to private coaching for anyone who wants it, and you figure this is like a medium effort activity that requires no additional heavy cost to you. You have the equipment, et cetera, and it's also a way to earn cash. You said mildly passively. There's no passive income. Just please keep that passive word out of your vocabulary. But mild effort, perhaps. I'll allow that.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
So, who are you offering this service to? And what are you doing for them that they're like, oh, yes, here's some money?
I'm still working on that language, but ideally this will be people who have come to me and asked me for like resources and even like meditations. And these are usually people who are like me, very ambitious and have a lot of like creative pursuits, but know that they have to like integrate some kind of like morning and evening like wellness routine just to like stay grounded. So I was just thinking about this idea of having some kind of audio program that's integrated in busy individual, like career-oriented individuals, millennials, who want to integrate like wellness and meditative mindfulness, right? They want to work on their mindfulness practice and they're looking for a way to integrate that new habit. We're gonna pull out that thread.
So everything you just said right there is very coachy.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. Kate knows what you're talking about. The coachy community is like the wellness and the thing. But what you're gonna need is language that they are gonna be like, oh,
Yeah.
that's I want her stuff. Because
And
there are 110 trillion meditation audios for
yeah.
free out there. So if you want to make money here, start to dig into and find the language that the people have used. The thing that came to my mind is staying centered within your creative swirl. That's a little coachy still, but I think someone would be like, oh God, yeah, I feel like I have a lot of things I'm doing and want to do and have to react to and respond to as a creative artist, and I feel not centered. And one thing about this year, it's going to keep knocking us off our center, and we're going to need to be able to come back to being grounded and centered. Your job is to speak to the problem they're having, feeling this way, and how what you're offering to them. What they will feel like, how it will impact their work, like what can you fix? What problem can you fix? So that's stuff to work on, you know. Okay. And then do you have any questions? Those are those three things.
Yeah, I guess just to follow up what you were just sharing about the third part, it is doable as long as I'm just very intentional about who the target audience is.
Yeah, it's sort of what it sort of sounds like here when I read this is like, well, I'm going to make an audio and I'll put a price tag on that. And then if someone asks me for it, I'll like let them know I have it. Or are you really going to cultivate an audience to sell to or to become your clients? And then how are you going to do that?
I see what you mean.
It's possible. I'm just asking you, you're thinking about it. Like, I don't want you spending all this time making product and stuff without anybody knowing how to sell it to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand what you mean because I'm going to be doing more like med like workshops both online and in person and hopefully creating an audience like a mindfulness centered audience. Like that doesn't necessarily correlate that they would want what I was selling unless it's like specifically for that audience. I'm kind of talking this out in my head, so
Totally. No. And I'm not judging you. This is the, oh my God, you hear me sometimes talk to Kate about what I'm doing. I'm like, it doesn't sound sometimes. Yeah, I know you just use people as a sounding board. It's all good. This is how we home in on what it is. So I would, what I would encourage you to do is start having the little gatherings. It doesn't need people. Charge for it, but see what, make an offer and see if people respond to it. Make another offer and see what people want. See what's grabbing your people in your orbit, in your friends' orbits. Tell everybody you know I'm doing this thing. Here's all the details and see if people come. And then as you do it with people, you'll start to get a sense maybe of like, oh, that really responded well. Like people really responded to this thing. And sometimes it's something you don't even think is going to be the deal. And then it's like, whoa, people really wanted that.
I
So I
already have
think instead of
ideas.
trying to figure it out, I think it's something you kind of are going to discover by just doing it. So just do it. Decide, like, I'm going to do one of these a month for the first 6 months of the year. And I'm going to gather all the data and I'm going to see and let the product or whatever you offer kind of come out of that. And pay attention whenever you get a gathering of people. At the end, I say this in the cash flow program in the section on speaking engagements. You want to ask them, oh, so what was the thing that made coming here so great? Because then you start to hear their language. Oh, I really want, love this part, and I really needed this, and this is what, because you want to use their language in your marketing, not your coachy language. You want to use real people's language.
Absolutely.
And then you asked me if I created this cash flow course before I had an audience for it. And the way this course originated was it was called Your Little Side Business. And I was doing my organizing business, and other actors started to ask me, oh, how did you grow that? And I had like three people ask me, like within the course of a couple of weeks. And I was like, oh, well, I bet there's more people who want to know it. So I just did like a, it was on the phone. There was no Zoom. I just recorded on the phone and I sent them the little files. And I did it. It was 3 days, like three sessions. And I just told them everything I knew. And then that went really well. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to teach this again. And I'm going to make it just a little more structured and fancy. And it had the thing. And then it had a little website. And I sold that for a while. And then I kind of took it off. And then, but this cash flow, as you can hear the course and read it today, pre-pandemic, I was like, just giving a lot of business advice to just various clients. And I'm like, I need to just write down everything that's in my head. I would just love to have it even for my own sake. So I could just be like, here it is. Here's everything to get started in a lean, low cost way, low overhead. But when the pandemic hit, everybody and their mother came out of the woodwork selling courses. How to do your program, how to do your online thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not actually super, this is not the focus of my business. I thought I was going to do it, but once the pandemic happened, it was like, I'm not going to be able to cut through the market. I don't have enough time to penetrate the market and get people's attention for it. But it existed, and it was my suggestion to Miata. I'm like, this is kind of the missing component to what you've got over here. And so we just put it inside her program, and that's how that happened. So I almost did it for myself to just get it all out of my head and into a one thing. And I've sold it separately because I have an agreement with Miata. If I wanted to sell it separately, I could. And I've done like little pop-up sales since the pandemic because certain acting teachers are like, oh, can you let my people buy it? And so I'll do that. And I'll do some like live coaching. I think I've done that twice. So, but otherwise it just kind of lives in here. And I love talking about it. It's just not the focus of my business because we only, this is for everybody. You only have so much time and energy. And these days, while you can certainly find people around the world to become in your orbit, there's just a lot harder effort it takes to penetrate a market.
Yeah.
So there's a particular market I'm going after, and I'm putting all of my muscle behind growing that.
So helpful.
Yeah, and that's sort of why I was asking you at the, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to like really find those people, and that'll take a little bit of effort.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's how I feel about the what you have guided me through the harp side, being a luxury harpist. So thank you.
You're welcome. And then you had a little mindset thing, just the fear. Tiny negative fear associated with embracing the identity of someone who can create financial opportunities from multiple sources of income on this level, the elevated level. I find myself looking for ways to say I'm not ready. And maybe it's normal to have a tiny bit of fear as you're challenging yourself. Yeah, 100%. Your brain is going to wander off and be like, and you have to drag it back. But you have to drag your brain back to somewhere. You can't just drag it back and go, okay, sit here in this void. You have to drag it back to a different story. Or if you're not feeling up to mustering a story, that's when you listen to other people's stories. You go find inspiring content that keeps reminding you that it's possible. One of the best stories in the world is this book called The Awakened Woman. Dr. Tara Rye Trent, you read her story, you're like, okay, then I think I could probably do what I'm setting out to do. If she can
Thank you.
do that, you can do anything. And you borrow
Highlighting.
other people's courage.
Yes,
When
okay.
someone says, I believe that you can do this, you choose to believe their belief. And
Yeah.
so it's important to have, it doesn't have to, you have to have a lot of people, but one or two people in your life who are like, no, you call me when you're feeling wiggly and I will tell you can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Thank you. It's always that period of time when from when you're like crossing over into that new identity that you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna get there. But I always do. It's just I always do this to myself and I
It's humany. We're little scared people on the savannah who are like going to be eaten by a leopard. I mean, we're still there. A great place when your brain goes to like, can I do this? I don't know. You drag it back to curiosity. I wonder how this is going to happen. I wonder how I'm going to meet my first couple clients. I wonder how I'm going to get this wonderful reputation in the luxury market. Like, I wonder who my first client is going to be at my new rate.
Yeah, thank
Just
you.
take yourself back to curiosity. I am curious how the universe is going to surprise me.
Yes,
How is
thank
the
you.
universe going to knock my socks off with something I never even knew existed?
Thank you so
You're
much.
welcome. Good questions. Good, like really good business questions. Love it.
Appreciate
You're
you.
welcome. Oh, let me introduce myself. So I'm Christine Aller, creator, coach inside of Creating Cashflow. The way this works is you can submit your question in advance. I have three today, and that helps me m measure out the time. But if we have time over after questions are done, the floor will be open. So if you want to get coached, raise your hand with the little raise hand signal. And that just lets me kind of track the time and get as much in as possible. I do not read the chat. I can't read the chat and stay on track in my own mind at the same time. But I do read the chat after our calls. So, but feel free to talk amongst yourselves on the chat. Okay, Kira, where are you? There you are. Hello. So, Kira, good to meet you. Nice to see you.
Hi.
Kitten. You are in, oh, we've talked before. I didn't mean like nice to meet you. I meant nice to see you. You're an intuitive oracle and you want to celebrate a victory, which is that you've already spoke to your boss about this thing we're going to talk about. And he was very supportive. Good for you for talking to him about that. And that was a very brave action for me, you wrote. Congratulations. It's hard. This is not easy stuff that we're going to be talking about. This is really hard. And you are being very brave. And these two things happening at the same time, it's fascinating. But I actually think it's great that they're happening at the same time. And we will now talk about that. So let me read what you wrote. My question is kind of a three-pronged question. I really want to spend time focusing on my side business, but I'm struggling with a lot of work stress at my full-time job. A big part of this stress is a coworker that has been a kind of a work friend for a long time, but has crossed the line too many times, and I'm on the verge of reporting him to HR. Aside from this, I have a performance review tomorrow, and I've been waiting over 9 months for a promotion to a role that I'm essentially doing without extra pay at the moment. And we talked about this already, and in the mindset call, but you're really struggling with the triggers that you're having from this coworker's predatory behavior. You wrote, I don't want this HR case to overshadow my performance review, which is about me and all the awesome value that I bring. So I want to clear my mindset so I can focus on showing up in a strong way for myself. And I need some support with the mindset around the HR case, which will likely happen later in the week. And underneath all of this is a fear that I'm putting my energy into the wrong thing, that this job is not right for me anymore at all because of all the toxic dynamics that are now spilling over into my personal life. That sucks, first of all. And I'm very sorry you're having to deal with something that is not at all about you. It is literally someone intruding into your life in a way that was completely unasked for, I'm assuming. So I'm sorry. So your performance review is tomorrow. Is there a way that you cannot see him, like actually see him tomorrow? Like, what time is your performance review at?
My performance review is at 11, and we all sort of like there's some aspect, like there's some way that I can't help it. I work from home, so it's like I won't see him physically, and I can definitely control that, but I am like always having to see the things that he posts like on our work channel, and I have to also post on that channel, so it's like it there is and that is also like really triggering too right now. And so yeah, I'm just been having a really hard time even separating from it, like in my personal time, like weekend, evening. I was on vacation for a week and it was just like really there.
Yeah. Can you just not go into work, clock in at all, or clock in, but don't go on the thing? Don't do work until 11. Just go to the meeting tomorrow.
I think so, yeah. I think I could easily just like not sign on to our group channel. And yeah, just sort of maybe I can even let my boss know like, hey, I'm just gonna like stay off our channel for until after my review. And
That's
if you
right.
need to say anything to me, like just text me privately or whatever.
100%. I think
Yeah.
that is a very mature professional decision. I think the company owes you those 2 hours since they, intruded on your vacation mentally. Like, I think you can take those 2 hours. I would do that because that will go along a little ways towards allowing you to do whatever you would like to do in that morning to prepare yourself for the meeting.
Yeah.
And the thing about the reason that I kind of like that this performance review is happening this week, and you're going to go to HR this week, you eventually, like in the next week or two, are going to get a lot of information about this company that is going to clearly indicate whether they value you as an employee, whether they acknowledge the work you've been doing and agree to compensate you going forward, and if they absolutely clearly handle this situation. Not in a wishy-washy way, and not in a way where you have to do anything. It's not your problem. You will then get a very clear picture of how they have decided to treat you. And then you can decide whether or not you want to stay, whether you want to withdraw your energy from it and sort of make ways to move on to a new chapter, or whether you're like, oh my God, they handled it well and they did acknowledge me and I'm willing to stay. So this is a very fascinating week. And I want you to accept a quality promotion, not just a promotion. I will give you 50 cents more per hour and give you a different title, and you can continue to overwork for us. You want a quality promotion and you want a quality response from HR. A response, no, quality response. What would you like HR to do? How would you, if you could wave your magic wand, want this all resolved?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know that I asked for essentially like a 25 or 35K promotion. Annual salary, which is pretty ballsy, I know, but I'm just like, whatever, it's the value that I bring and I know it. And I'm trying to figure out like what's the bottom line that I'll accept given that. I've thought maybe like if they give me like a 15 or to 20K, and then maybe I would ask for a 4-day work week or something. I don't know, like see if I can. If they can give me some other like perk that they might be willing to offer. So that's something that on that end, what I'm really struggling with is like I talked to my boss on Friday, and in it, when I told him about this, he also had told me that this person is like not, he's trying to make himself like in competition with the role that he knows I've been like essentially proposing for nearly a year. But my boss was like, he's not your competition. Like it's very clear like that you like this is for you. And but like they're giving him like a consolation promotion essentially. And I just find that so despicable. Like I cannot even fucking believe it. Excuse my language, but I'm just like, oh, so this guy gets to be a total predator and extremely aggressive and hard to work with, and even like raises his voice and yells at the boss like on a meeting with me there. And it's like, and no one writes him up, and now they're giving him a freaking promotion to shut him up. Yes, Kate, patriarchy, 100%. I'm just like, so, and I am like here working my ass off, doing a really good job and creating resources that are beyond, much far beyond my title. And then this guy's like stealing them and like using them and sit and in incorrectly and like promoting them as his creation, basically. There's just like so many levels of harm that's happened at this point. And I feel like so angry, I think, both at the company and my boss is very supportive, but I still feel kind of angry at him too for not taking action against this guy. And then I feel angry at this guy. And so it's like, I don't want to go in with all this rage to my performance review, but it's there.
Well, I don't know about that.
I didn't answer your question though, I'm realizing, which was like, what would I want to happen in the HR sort of
Yeah,
side.
like you're going to H, I mean, the predatory stuff, the stuff that is impinging on your life and psyche. What would you like them to do to kind of stop them?
I mean, honestly, for a long time, I was like, I don't want to like mess with anyone's livelihood. And I was just like, I don't want to contribute to this guy getting fired because like some of his behavior is like, like full on like sexual harassment stuff and like other like forms of harassment. And it's, and I just, but now I think I kind of do want them to fire him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't want or transfer him. Like, I don't even want to have to work with him anymore. But, and that's like a challenge, is I'm afraid they're going to try to do some kind of mediation and like he may like retaliate against me, which I'm like not as afraid of him at all. Like, I can block him on my personal phone and, but I'm just, he doesn't know where I live, like none of that. But it's just, I guess I can't think of like what a middle ground would be at this point. Like, I'm so kind of far. Like, I've never reported someone to HR in my entire like decades worth of work life, and I just, it has to be like something so far for me that it's like that I would even consider doing this. And so I'm just like, I don't even know what action they could do that would make it better to stay with him, him there, I mean.
Kate?
I'm going to try to find this reference for you. You're in California?
Yeah.
Okay. I live in New York now, but I used to live in California, and I consulted with a woman who is a employment lawyer when I had some issues with my employer. It wasn't exactly the same kind of issue, but what was really helpful was to understand what the lay of the land is, and what employers typically do, what they have to do, what they're allowed to do, those kind of things.
Right.
And you can probably get in touch with her or someone like her before your HR meeting, probably not before your review, but for you before you file the complaint.
Yeah.
I just found it when I was going through difficulties to be really grounded in what the parameters were was really, really helpful. So I'll get that info to you. And if anybody else knows an employment lawyer, put it in the chat. The other thing I wanted to just mention is when you're in your meeting and talking about this promotion, you do not have to respond to them in the meeting. You can say something like, "You've given me a lot to think about. I'm going to sleep on it."
Yeah.
And end of meeting. You don't have to know, you don't have to be ready and know what your response is going to be. I mean, you want to know what you want to ask for, but you can give yourself some time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Both things. That's really helpful. And I think I'm just also really angry, and maybe there is a middle ground in this HR situation of like, I don't know, maybe mediation is the answer. I don't know, but I'm just like, how am I going to work with this guy? Like, my boss was like, you may have to work with this guy, and I was like, or work with him in these certain ways. And I was like, can you tell me like he's not a person that is easy to work with, and at this point, like it's deep, it's like messing with like my quality of life inside and outside of work. And so, yeah,
There's
not okay.
language that an attorney in this area can give you, but there's
Okay.
something about, I don't know if the word is perpetual, but repeated harm. Like this behavior is harmful, and it's not safe environment for you to subject me to continued harm. So some language like that that I think will be helpful to you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Aileen, I see your hand, but hold on for a second. So, Kira, I want to also pull back to the big picture perspective of this. This isn't just about how do I kind of continue in this thing. This is about women standing up against the patriarchal, misogynistic culture in corporate America, in the world. But it's not that you have to put yourself in harm's way to kind of fight for this, but there is time when finding the middle ground and having a boss say, well, you're going to have to figure out how to work with him. It's like, no, that's not on that's not the labor I have to do for this company. To pay for my therapy, to pay for all this time that I've been thinking about it and talking about it, like in here, this is all your life force that is being you giving to the company to try to hold on and maintain for them. And you're done. And you're done not just for you, but it's like, how are we going to change any of this unless you can cultivate within you the strength? And I know it's so hard to say this, but the strength and the trust that there's another job out there that won't treat you like shit and put you in harm's way. This is not the only job. It's definitely not the only job you're ever going to have in your life. You're not even, this isn't your dream career. Yeah, it's just a fucking job that pays your rent. And you know what you shouldn't have to do to pay your rent is put up with some guy like that
Yeah.
intruding into your psyche to pay your rent. That's not what you're here to do.
I mean, the ironic thing is that I can't even afford to have my own place at the moment on the salary that I make. And so it's like I'm just in awe that I'm navigating this right now.
Yeah.
I'm like so on the verge of just like leaving the job and just working on, going back to school and working on my side business or picking up other side work part-time or something, some other avenue, and just working like relying on savings for that period to sort of carry me. But I'm sort of like that's depending on what happens in this next week or two, that's kind of like my backup plan, which I don't think is a bad backup plan. It's like more of a vision-oriented backup plan. This is like a continue to like maintain the status quo and hopefully make more money kind of plan, but it's like I don't even know if it's for my well-being ultimately.
Correct. I think
Yeah.
that's a very astute and awareness that you have. And from the big picture perspective, this is an opportunity for you to come out, no matter how things turn out, stronger, not weaker. And beaten down, but to cope, no matter what happens this week and next week, I'm going to be stronger for how I handle this, and muscles that I can take with me from this situation if I choose to move on. With what you just said to me about, like, I don't know, I mean, I could just leave. If you are willing to do that, that was my favorite thing you've said this whole time, because I'm like, oh, you have all the leverage now.
Yeah.
And in this particular situation, my advice to you, and I think if I were to ask you, what would you turn around and say to your daughter if she were coming to you in this situation? I would go into that performance review and ask for exactly what you want. I want $35,000. I want a 40-hour work week. I want this. And if you want me to stay, fine. That's what I need to stay. I don't want you to, because what you were going in with is like, how can we come to a thing that would keep me here? It's like, but you don't even want to keep yourself there. So why don't you go like, well, if I'm going to deal with all this shit, and you know what would be really amazing? You know what would be really interesting and ninja and like big muscles is I want $35,000 salary, and I need $2,000 extra to pay for my lawyer and therapist to deal with this coworker. I to compensate for the time and money I've spent on therapists and research and lawyers to deal with this fucker for the last year. Because that shows them how serious you are. They just gave him like bonus comp pay. Companies have money. $2,000 to them is nothing. To you, it's like, oh shit, $2,000. It's not a lot. You just said you were making them money. Your job is to go in there and go, I've been making you money. If you would like me to stay and continue making you money, this is what I need, period. And then, like Kate says, balls in their court. If they come back at you with, well, boo, 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 you can say, or a different offer, an offer, you definitely say, I'll consider that. But you say it in that tone. Not, you don't have to be mean, but it's like, it's just sort of like you could try this experiment of letting you use the power of your anger to bring that into the conversation. Because you have a very soft demeanor and you have a very soft voice. And people can make judgments about you based on that and try to poke, 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 poke you until you say, okay. But if you come in and rattle the cage a little bit and be like, oh no, I've thought about this based on the my performance and blah, 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 this is what I need to continue, plus $2,000 to compensate for the work I've done to be able to continue working here with that disruptive force in my life and see what they say. It will be fascinating and give you a lot of clarity to see what they say.
I love that. Yeah, thank you so much. I guess my question is sort of like logistical in a way, 'cause I don't really know what's going to happen at the performance review, and so I think just like for my own sanity to be able to like I like Keith's suggestion of just like I don't have to respond and I can just like you've given me a lot to think about and I'm going to sleep on it. And then I wonder if like the next action would be to file the report or like go through the HR case and then come back around once they've given me what I, and just be like, actually, this is what
Yes, Kira, now you are. Yes, I love the way your brain just went boom, boom, boom.
Now I'm in the Yeah,
Okay, so for
thank
the
you.
HR review, I want you to walk in. Okay. To the performance review, definitely walk in if you haven't already with just the list of like, this is how I contributed to your bottom line. I want you to have those notes so they don't, you don't get flustered by whatever they come at, because they might be like, well, we've reviewed it and here's your 2% raise. It's like, oh, this, and you can say, well, I think this is a larger conversation, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For the HR, I'd like you to walk in with four things. One, a list. Kind of a timeline of what he's done, yelling at me at this meeting, as best as you can remember, so that you can show, and this is what you want to communicate to HR. I made this list to show you this has been persistent and escalating. Those are words you want to speak their language. Those are words that they won't like to hear because that's lawyer speak. That's you know, in the courtroom kind of speak. This has been persistent and this has been escalating. So I'd like you to come in with the timeline list. The second thing is if the company has given you any kind of handbook, any kind of company manual, I want you to go find quotes in there. I want you to quote from their own words and be like, well, this and well, this is what you say. So definitely do that. Two, see if you can connect with a lawyer. But even if you can't connect with a lawyer, read the stuff that's on their websites. It's like, we help people with this and this and this. And then you can say, you know, I've been looking into lawyers. I've found two that help with precisely this, just so you know. And then Google. Come in with some pieces of research. Now, this you can keep in your back pocket. You don't necessarily have to bring this out in the meeting, but it would be really great to have some examples of worst case scenarios. This woman was harassed persistently, and he eventually found her and tried to harm her or did harm her. You want to bring into the conversation that this isn't just something that needs to be danced around in the workplace. This kind of thing, unaddressed by companies, often goes into the real world. And you cannot stay here if they are not going to protect you. And if they are not going to protect you, well, that's what the lawyer's for. So you're really coming in. You don't have to be aggressive about it, but just with your ducks in a row, what you want to communicate is you're serious about this and you're not going anywhere. You're not going to just forget about this. The other thing about the $2,000 in the performance review and the HR meeting, what you're communicating to them is, I have been dealing with this for the last year or whatever, or 6 months, however long it's been going on. I have been trying everything I could do personally. That's why I'm coming to you, because the ball is now in your court. And I need to know, how are you going to protect me? And that is a good word to use too. Protect. Because if they don't, then they're not protecting you. And that is something you could maybe sue over. You don't have to ever use that word, but you're communicating it.
Yeah.
Because what they're going to want to do is what your boss did. Oh, well, this is the starting point. So let's see if we can just. No. The starting point was when it started. And I've already been trying to do everything. So, no, I'm done working on this. Your job is to work on it now.
Yes.
It matters much less if you end up getting fired or walking away from this job. It matters much more that you are growing into a woman that you want to be and need to be in this world. We need more people who are like, we're done. It's 20 fucking 25, and you want us to be like this? And no. No. I don't want you to have to do any of this.
Thank you
But I
so
do want you to
much.
get stronger.
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate all
Absolutely.
of this. Like the one person I had kind of consulted, who's the only other female coworker on my team. She was kind of like, if you do this, they're gonna look at you differently and treat you differently forever, and that's gonna follow you. And I'm just like, it's fucking 2025. Like, I cannot just stand by and not do anything. Like at this point, no one's doing anything, and I'm just like, I have, a lot of life experience of navigating people not doing anything and moments where I couldn't do anything either. And it's like, now I can. Like, I have power here and I want to exercise it, because I love what you said, where you're like, I'm done handling this. Now it's your turn to handle this. That's exactly how I feel now. I'm just like, I'm done. I can't even talk to him at work at all anymore. I'm just
Yeah.
like, yeah, I'm done. So thank you so much. I've took a lot of notes, and yeah, I'm really grateful, and I'm sure I'll have lots to update on next time.
If you have to be in a Zoom thing with him at all, just put a post-it note over his. You don't have to fucking look at that guy.
Yeah, that's a good
Energy.
idea.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Great
Thank you so much.
conversation, Kira.
Thanks
Thank you.
everyone.
Anne Marie? Are you here? Yes, Anne Marie.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Me orient myself here. Hello. You wrote that your current side biz is coaching and mentoring screen and television writers. Your goal for your side biz is you'd like to be in the beta testing on a writing productivity software app by the end of 2025. your cash flow cat, and you said your current mentoring side biz very modestly helps when projects are languishing in the low to no pay development, but you're wondering, since you have a goal of clearing debt, if you should delay pursuing this secondary side hustle idea, knowing it would be taking on more debt to see it realized. And celebrating your victory of day five of tracking all expenses for 2025. Day five. Yeah. Leaving all those people who stopped at day four in the dust.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Yes. Every day counts.
Yes.
So I have the first thing I want to say is nothing I am sharing with you today is delivered in a sense of like, oh God, don't do this, or poo-pooing the idea. It's just exploring the idea because apps are expensive.
Yes, they are.
Apps are very, very much. I had a friend who developed an app, very much like renovating a house. It's like double
Also
what you
different.
could pay. Like the contractor's like 40,000 and it's 80,000 easy. So yeah. So what is your thinking on this? You have this idea. What is the app gonna do? Like what?
Yeah. I work in film and TV. I do, and in this coaching, and it's so deadline orientated. And often when I'm coaching screenwriters, I'm like, we break it down. You want to have your pilot done. That is 50 pages. That is this, this means Monday or Friday. So when I talk to you on Wednesday, according to our schedule, this is how many pages you should have banked by now. And so we do this kind of all manually. And if I'm working on a contract versus working on my spec versus I like, you need to be able to somehow turn on your thing and manage what is the paycheck to do? How many pages are due today? How many pages? So there needs to be a system where you can just log in, upload whatever you need to, and know whether you're on track or off track to meet either work deadlines or finishing the script deadline, whatever it is, so you can visually see every day if you are on course to meet your deadline. And that's something I do physically and something I try to do, like insert into my calendar software, but it's not something that exists on its own in terms of for writers. And that's our whole business is homework and deadlines, right? And so if there's a way to streamline that, it's so helpful. It's so helpful. So that's the ultimate goal. But yes, as you said, this amount of debt, I get this, and it's so, I have no idea what's going to go this year and what's not going to go in terms of my own work. Yesterday, last year, this was terrible. The year before was amazing. So I have no idea. You're always let it be a great year, but I don't know. So I have no idea what I'm going to be bringing in to know how I can spend money that I'm not sure is coming.
So in terms of like streams of income, this, an app development, is what we would call long-term income. This is not pay the rent, income. This is like a longer shot at something that could exponentially pay off. But it's would be long-term. And if there is something that you have financially that needs to be handled in the shorter term, then this definitely should be backburnered. Okay, so that's just one thing. But if you have space and the desire to create something that would be more long term, then this may be a good idea. So some of the things that I want to just kind of give you the list of things that popped into my head. One, Like, these are the questions that you'd want to answer for yourself to as much as you can to help you evaluate this. How would you plan on marketing the app? If it was already made, how would you get it to the people who would need to buy it? And then how do you plan on market testing the idea just to see if people want it before the thing is even made? How do I find out if enough people really want it? Now, it's not enough to be like, oh my God, wouldn't it be great to have like this thing that did this? And everybody be like, yeah, that would be fantastic. How much would you pay this for? Yes, I pay. Because people will always pay or say they would until you're asking them to open the wallet. So it's like, how would I market test this to see if people actually want it? Definitely talk to people who have created apps for a similar target customer. What other apps out there are targeted towards writers or the creative community, and maybe reach out and be like, hey, how'd that work? Have you seen a return on your investment yet? Like, how long did it, like, would you do it again if you had a chance to do it again? That would be interesting because you want to know, is there a market there? Have other people found a market there? You want to also ask yourself, how might AI infringe upon this service or deliverable? So you create this app, but is there a way that AI could be like, oh, well, now we can just do this. You know, Siri, remind me every time, blah, 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 blah. Or I don't know, but there can be people you can ask who are like, oh, this is gonna like totally fill this in. Yeah. So you'd want to like know about AI. And then are you confident about covering the legal aspects of developing an app? Just in terms of the time-consuming nature of legal stuff. And another question is, you might want to research what's involved with protecting your IP. You spend all this time in development, and somebody comes out with a very similar thing at the same time, or like what's involved with then protecting your thing? And then how much would you charge for it? And what would then need to happen for the return on the investment? And you have to be really careful. And this is for like all of us, me out, everybody. You know, it looks great on paper. Oh, well, this amount of money times this many people equals this, and that'll be great. And it's recurring. And then this is like, yeah. But it's getting those people and then not just getting them to try it, but getting them to stay and use it. And if you sort of get into this process and you need someone to talk to, I would be happy to connect you with my friend who developed an app for actors. Yeah, I think he has mixed feelings about it, but I don't know what his conclusions are. We've never really had a conversation like, how did that go? And did you make your investment back? Like, I actually don't know the details about that, but I would guess he'd be happy to talk to you. And he's like super techie. Like, so I mean, he had the connections. He's not technical. He's an artist. He's an actor, but he totally knows tech. So if anyone was going to create an app that was going to be successful, he had pr a pretty good chance where he was positioned in life. So if it wasn't, it would be interesting to be like, oh, okay, well, why not? You know. So where are you in the thought process of those sorts of things?
There are some things that you touched on that I have thought of, and some things like in terms of the legal aspect, and like I have not even considered in terms of how that affects already growing costs. So, in terms of the content and what I that I've been working on, sadly, like for the past year. I guess the main connection, I do know one of the creators of one of the largest screenwriting software systems that we use in the industry. But I haven't, it's like I'm already splitting. Basically, I see myself splitting in profits I have not made yet. So I was like, oh, do I ask him about this? Do I? I don't know, And he, so there, but there is someone who has, comfortably and successfully created something that is an industry standard now, but that was ages ago. So I'm not even sure if he is current in terms of what's going on now, because I think he sold off his whatever and he's living fine, but I have no idea if he knows what
And did he
2025.
create an app or did he create software?
Created software for it, which also is now like spun off to the app, spun off. So I have both in my own position. I have the app, I have the software, but the software itself begat the app, which is abundant.
And what do you see? Where do you see the investment money coming from? You? A partner, angel investors, family.
There, it would mostly be me. I mean, at this point, that's something also whether I seek out, is it something worth me kind of tapping on the few doors that I think could be angel investors, or it's predominantly me at the moment. I
And you
focus.
might even Google something like, what do angel investors look for when deciding to invest in an app? Because what are they looking for? Are they looking for an app that could later be sold? Like they want their money back, want their money and a profit back, technically. And then pricing what a developer is these days, because that's going to be the person you'll need the most in this, someone actually doing the development. And if you're going to give money to someone to do it, you'll have to find somebody who can actually do it, because so many people have given money to people who can't actually do the job, even though they said they could. Good developer, I hear, is very hard to find. And again, that's not to poo-poo the dream. I just want to start from a very realistic point of view. And this is one of those ideas where it's investment heavy. And once you start putting thousands of dollars towards this, you're going to want to make it work. But then what if it midway through, it's like, it's not working, or we run out of money? And how are you prepared to handle that? And how much time and energy do you have to devote? Because this is a long-term thing to start. And then another question to research is, what is involved with a customer service on an app? Because it's not like you create this and then it's like done, and then people subscribe and then you get this monthly income. People have problems and questions. And then what if, but it's not working with the Android update, or Apple now is saying I can't have the app on. Apple's very weird about app, who they let on their platform and stuff. And it would be a shame to have this wonderful thing that then doesn't land on one of those platforms. But then also, every time Android and Apple update their operating systems, well, I don't know. I have no idea what's involved with these app people who have to kind of make sure their app still works. And then if it doesn't work, then you have all these people asking for tech assistance. So there's so much on the back end of these things that I think people don't take into consideration. And some of the apps that I'm sure that we are like, oh wow, that's like a really popular app and everybody uses it, it might not be profitable at all. All of these food companies that deliver food to your homes, none of them are profitable. None of them have turned a profit. It's all investor money that has just been poured into these HelloFresh without turning a profit. One of my favorite shows is Shark Tank, because it has taught me just a lot about like questions and like, oh, and how the things I would never think about about
Right.
costs and profit versus the cost of things, you know. And even when Shark Tank, you know, there's a lot of fluff on Shark Tank in that they do their like updates, and you see them, all the company people being like, after our Shark Tank investment, our company was making 80,000, but now it makes 2 million of sales,
Right.
which isn't profit.
Yeah.
So you have to like really parse out that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so then my final question is like, is there an easier way for you to make money? Because this is a really hard way to make money. I think it's easier for people who have a tech background too. You have a really good idea, you know. Yeah. But that's the other thing Shark Tank taught me is like, there's a lot of people come on, you're like, that's a really great idea. The world needs this. And then the shark's like, oh yeah, but this and this and that. And you're like, oh yeah, okay, that's never gonna work then. Like, oh. And again, I'm not a dream killer. I just want you to go into this very clear-eyed because it's a very complex side hustle.
Agree. These are good questions, though. I mean, they're very good questions to sort of dig into.
Yeah, and it may be the first step might be talking to your friend who did the software development that, you know, then had an app attached. I mean, everything has an app attached to it now. I'm just saying software is an SaaS business or a software business is different than an app necessarily. Those are two separate things. But you might ask your friend, like, so I have this idea. What would your question, you know? What would his notes be for you? Like, what would he think? What are the odds? How does he think the business has changed? Like, what would he do? And, but a really good question for him would be, so obviously I'm me. I'm the creative part. I'm the idea of this. I know how it would work for the writers. I know exactly what we need. Who is the person I would probably need to bring on board to help me actually make this happen? And but what I mean by who is the person, what are you, what is that person, what are they called? It's not the developer, because that's just the person executing your idea. You don't want your developer necessarily to be your partner, they're your executor. But who is the other half of this brain that is going to be necessary to actually do this idea? And I'm not talking about an investor, I'm talking about kind of, I sort of feel like you'd need a partner, because there's to fill in the knowledge gap. You know the customer, you have the idea, but who's going to be hold the lantern as you guys walk down this path and tell you, oh, don't go down this, we'll go down this path. Okay, good. Okay. So who might and where, who do I need and where would I even find a person like that? That might be a good question to start with your friend.
That is a good question.
Another good question is, what am I not thinking about? What don't I see when I think of this idea? Like, oh, sort of the things I said. It's like, have you thought about this stuff? What else am I not seeing when I think of this idea?
Right.
Because if you came to me and said, you know what? I got this like $40,000 just burning a hole in my bank account, and I have this idea. It could be a total like, oh, well, go for it moment. That's not quite the circumstances.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Now, there might also be a company that Final Cut Pro that does stuff who might just buy your idea and hire you as just the consultant because you know that maybe it's like, I've got this idea. If you want to roll with it, pay me $10,000 and I'll like do a brain dump with you and then you have $10,000.
Right.
And if they take your idea and make a fantastic app, that's okay because you may not have been able to replicate that success of that. Do you you'd have to you could only do that if you would be able to let go and let God and have your baby be born into the world with a surrogate.
mean,
Yeah.
writers do that every day, and it's like
Yeah, right.
trying to get something that is like that is your own, that lives on as you intended it to live on. But yeah, we do that all the time. Like every day, all day. Letting go of something. So
And I'd be curious if you could pay back all or part of your debt by selling this idea to somebody. Kate?
Hey, I love this idea, Anne-Marie. I just wanted to briefly bring your attention to the chat. Eliana posted something and I reinforced it about taking a look at Notion and Notion templates. I'm not very familiar with Notion, but I know it's becoming more and more popular and a lot of people are using it for organizational purposes. So there might be a way for you to create a Notion template that serves the same purpose that you could monetize without all the other stuff and have it ride on Notion. I don't know enough about it to say if that's a great idea or not, but I think it's worth investigating.
And I would say, not that I'm volunteering Ileana for this job, but I'm saying she might be a really great person to talk to since she is also a Notion. She's a Notion, amazing person, and she's a screen like TV writer. You guys should know each other anyway, because
Should.
that. But
Absolutely.
she would be able to illuminate what might be possible with Notion.
Great.
Yeah, Ileana Pipes is her name. So. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all very helpful. I don't know Notion very well at all, so I have no
Neither.
idea
Yeah.
what the kids are doing on
What
Notion
are the kids
these
doing? I
days.
have no
I have no idea.
Anything else, or do you feel complete around that?
Yeah, I think that's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of ways to come in, but yeah, I think this has been very helpful in terms of focusing, priority. But yeah, lot of good questions to sort of
And
navigate.
it's, yeah, and I just want to commend you for coming into a group and being like, I have an idea. What do you think? That's a very vulnerable, brave thing to do, especially when it's like, well, let me tell you what I think. And you're like, ah, it's a lot. And it, I just want to commit. I have been in those shoes before, and I just know that you did that with a lot of vulnerability, and I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you for supporting that.
Yeah, 100%. And yay for good ideas, man. And by the way, that's not your only good idea. Just like writing, it's like there's more. Your connection to source is delivering those good ideas. Your muse is showing up in business and in your writing career. Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulations on having a writing career in this town. Oh my God. Amazing. 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 Aileen, tell me, remind me how to pronounce your name so I'm not butchering it.
Is it Elaine? You're
Yeah,
joining
Elaine.
me? Yeah, it's
Yeah,
Elaine. Like
Elaine. Did...
a small street that you walk down.
Elaine. Yes. Okay. I will try to find a place to put that in here. Elaine, did you have something you wanted to say to Kira?
I'm very glad that you went where you went with that. And I just wanted to say, with all that you came and brought and all that everyone was coalescing there, the one thing that I know is that, and nobody here really knows what I do, probably. So I just, by way of introduction, is that I just finished all my hours for my MFT. I'm a marriage and family therapist, but 3,000 hours is a lot of hours. I haven't actually sat for my exam yet, which is coming up. They have to approve all my hours, but I've done them all. So I just want to say that,
Congratulations.
yeah, sometimes the universe or psyche shows up to show you where you have to actually show you. In other words, you stepping into the knowing you're done and stepping into being done and leaning in, and then finally just saying, hey, I'm actually done with this. It's not only a bigger conversation. Here's what I see it as, is sometimes the only way that psyche will let you past that with all the gifts
that you're bringing back from this particular journey. And I don't know if I said that clearly, but that's what I was thinking at that time. But it would have fallen flat without what Christine brought first, I think, just by way of all the particulars. But that concept is very much a part of this work, that work.
Yeah. I want to just throw this at you, Kira. I just want you to just put it in your head, think about it tonight, think about it. You could ask for $40,000 and then they'll come back and be like, "What about 20,000?" And then you say, "Ah, oh, I can do 35. How about we meet sort of in the middle at 35?" So if you just, I like to have a little bit of negotiating wiggle room, but I only want to negotiate down to what you really, really want, which is 35, and you'll be like, good. Ask for 40. I mean, this is kind of a fuck it moment because they're either going to say yes to your demands or they're not. And then you'll probably leave if they don't. So why not just really ask for even more than would satisfy you? Because that's what all the dudes do. That's what all the dudes do. 90% of them, anyway.
So true. Thank
Just ask for
you.
40. Plus 2000. Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you, Elaine, for that reflection.
Yeah. Anyone else? We have 9 minutes. Lives can be changed in less time than that.
Can I just thank everybody for bringing these questions and concepts, just like really good jump start on the year with all these different ways. Throughout this year, I'm going to be leaning in because I've obviously just finished all those hours and now I got to open my business. And so there's going to be a lot going on. I used to be an opera singer, which is why I'm in this milieu. And so I think there's this place where all this writing and psychology and everything's going to coalesce at some point, but I still just got to get that business launched and get out of these organizations I'm in and have been in to do the work to get the hours kind of thing. So claiming my seat here, but just saying thank you to Anne-Marie and Kira and Teresa. Just beautiful, organic, great work, and thank you for bringing it to start off the year. That's great.
There are some really great podcasts. I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, but there's some really great podcasts out there, talking to therapists about really earning money, like good money.
Yeah, we've been looking at that. I mean, there's going to be some nimbleness needed around AI. Everybody's like, fingers are crossed, it'll just be our notes, but that's not going to be the case. So it's going to be in there. So far, it can't diagnose and it can't provide treatment and it can't basically do some of the compassion-based things. But there is a lot. I mean, there's a very well-known gentleman named Ben Caldwell, who does all our law and ethics for the state of California. And even he is like, hey, we're scared, but we're all leaning in. Let's just get in there and do the work. So,
Okay, let me just offer you this. I
absolutely.
have listened to a lot of podcasts, talking to therapists. I'm not a therapist, but I'm fascinated, like, oh. And it seems a culture of scarcity and sort of like, oh, but we want to help all the people. And so our rates are the, but then they're not a lot of burnout in the therapy world and a lot of like, not making enough money to sustain what you need to sustain to actually serve clients on that level. So I'm wary of the advice you're getting within the scholastic system of being taught. And that's why absorbing other voices would be good. But here's what I would have to say to the AI thing. There are going to be enough people in the world, because I mean, how many people do you need for a full practice? 30 at a time? Like,
30 a week.
yes, I guarantee, goddamn to you, there's 30 people out in the world who want to talk to a human being.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to AI. Now, generations that are coming up are going to get more and more used to it. It's not like it's not like it's not the it's freaky how we're going to easily adapt to it. And for people who are starting in on their therapy experience, because AI is just regurgitating all the information that we've already put out into the world, it's not having fresh thoughts yet. It's regurgitating. So, but if someone has never done therapy before, all these concepts are like eye-opening to them. Like, what? I might have a mother wound. What is that? Like, yeah. But anybody, so then what I would recommend you do is you are tilting your practice towards people who can afford to pay because they want to talk to a human, for people that this isn't necessarily their first rodeo in therapy, that they are looking for someone who has the expertise to hone in on a very particular problem that they think is like a big problem, and that can successfully guide them through that. You can find 30 people a year who want to go on that journey with you, and your marketing is about that. It's
Yeah,
like,
it will come down to the marketing, definitely.
and I think that some therapists are going to go down the road of like kind of condemning the AI stuff, like you don't want to talk to a computer, you want to talk to a real person, but that's going to be everybody's marketing. So I would actually say it differently. If I were in your shoes, I'd be like, you know, there are a lot of benefits to artificial intelligence being applied in the therapeutic field. It reduces costs, it makes it available 24/7.
Yeah.
And if for people who are just starting in on their journey, it makes it more accessible. And maybe they're not even ready to say some of this stuff to a human. They like the anonymity of knowing, I mean, you know, their all their shit is being captured, but whatever, we won't go into that. But they like the kind of anonymity of talking to a non-human. And that's fine. My clients are people who, for who there's a little farther ahead in their journey. They've come to this blah, they have this problem, and da da da. And I offer intimacy, I offer expertise, and I offer the warmth of human to human connection. Like, so you're not poo-pooing the AI, but you're using it as a contrast to what you offer.
Yeah,
And
it
I
is
think
some.
that will be a, I don't think that's going to be a tact a lot of therapists are going to take.
I think it will have to be for some, such as, I mean, I'm a depth modality therapist on my way to the Jungian credential. So that is something that definitely, that's what we do anyway. We're not behavioralists. We're not constantly focused on the behavioral, that we use CBT and that's in there, but it, like, the depth modality is a lot different, but it is the marketing. Yep, by differentiation, as Kate is saying, and I'll bring that when I mean, relatively soon I'll be ready to like come with the full ideas I have already, all that stuff. It's just been so crazy up till now, but it's
Of
been so
course.
wonderful, and I just wanted to jump in and say thank you to everybody. And yeah, I hear you, and this is what I want, is to be able to talk to you in the group and really just flesh out, here's where I am. I am carrying debt, not just student debt. I got other debt because God knows life was happening while I was 6 years deep getting this done, because it took me a long time. So I'm old. I love it. Experienced. Sorry. There's my
Experience.
marketing.
Wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just making that differential because I think a lot of therapists are going to talk and against AI, but you don't want someone who's used it to feel like, oh, I used BetterHelp or
Yeah,
whatever.
no,
And
you want, yeah.
yeah, you don't want to shame around. But I think some therapists would be like, well, if you're not talking to a real person, it's not really therapy. And like, you just want to stay away from that. But
Yeah,
you do
it's going
want
to
to draw
be
the
an
distinction.
unfolding as we go kind of thing, because it's already launched in a lot of ways. So it's already there.
Yeah. One of the a great podcast just off the top of my head is The Money Sessions.
The money sessions. I think you've already given that to me, and
Okay.
I
Okay,
started
just
it. So
I
great.
didn't remember. I know I just gave it to somebody else and she wasn't you, so I'm like, did I mention it to her too? So just covering my bases. Okay, good.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, guys, that's it. A great first session to this year. Keep letting your lights shine. This is going to be an unprecedented year, but that does not mean that we can each have a wonderful experience too during this year. I actually don't think on an individual level it's going to be bad. It's a collective thing that is going to be the challenge. But inside of that, if we can stay on our, not stay, but drag ourselves back to our center, we'll be okay. And we'll definitely be okay together. So thank you for showing up. Thank you, Kate.
My
And
pleasure. Happy New Year, everybody.
Elaine, I'm happy to have your voice in this group too, like your expertise and your thoughts. So
So
I'm
nice.
happy to
The
be.
collective is really a big deal. You're right. That's where the wounds are going to be now. So we're going to have to work hard, but we're all here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, guys, have a good rest of your
Thank you,
evening.
everybody.
Thanks, Kate.
You can
Sure.
unmute and say bye if you
Bye, everyone.
want.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good
See
luck,
you next
Kira.
time.
You can do this tomorrow.
Yes,
You got
we are
it.
with
I can't
you.
wait to hear what happens. I'm so curious.
Thank
You got this, girl.
you. Thank
Yeah.
you.